Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. It is the day after NFL schedule release day. We've gone through a lot of the schedules to this point. And to help us talk more about the Titans and the NFL as a whole, we welcome in our friend Diana Russini from The Athletic on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Diana, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Catching up on all those schedule release videos from last night. I probably watched 30 of them. So
it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I kind of gave everyone 10 seconds. It was like, 10 seconds, if you can keep me engaged, I'll keep watching. Otherwise, I got other stuff to do. But I thought the Titans, they did a good job. They were put in a tough position. I was stressed for them. You know, how do you top what they did last year? They were that was hands down the best video I think I've ever seen in terms of a schedule release. So credit for them to at least I like the idea of just go back to the well. You know, this is what worked. Let's adjust it. Play the hits. Let's not get too crazy. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. So I know that whole team, they take a lot of pride in their work there and what they did last year and this year. So congratulations to them.
Yeah, no, I thought it was good. I mean, it's hard to capture the magic the first time, but I don't blame him at all for doing that. But so Diana, so Josh Kendall and I have to rank, like, for to write in The Athletic tomorrow, these, and I know you and Robert, you guys went through it, right? Like, I'm going to watch that whole video and I may steal some of your ideas. But
please,
just real fast, is there anything out there better than the Chargers one?
So I personally loved the Patriots, and maybe because when you watch the video of our reaction, you'll understand why. So we went with the teams that we assumed were going to be great right off the top. Like, as soon as 8 o'clock hit, we had our producer pull up. I was like, all right, I want to see Chargers. Who else did we immediately go to? We knew that we thought that the Panthers would do something because they've done stuff in the past, been creative. But we basically went to the team that we know. Oh, the Ravens. We're like, all right, we heard some stuff about them. We heard some stuff about the Dolphins. So then I said, you know who I actually want to see is the Patriots. Everything's so different there now. You know, when you have to figure in the past, Belichick probably wasn't leading the way with the social media team in terms of creativity. So I just wanted to see if the new regime had some guts here to say, let's do something now. Let's be different. And they were. And they were so good. So they basically they spoofed Good Will Hunting.
Oh.
You know, obviously Julian Edelman and Gronk were essentially Ben Affleck and Matt Damon in it. And
wow.
It was really – they had Ernie Adams in there. It was really funny, and you know, Daron Mayo was a, you know, a lead character in it. They just did a really good job. They had fun with it. It was funny. I think just the fact that I went into it unexpected, like thinking there's no way the Patriots could ever have fun. Well, they did.
It's good to nice refreshing.
I'm looking forward to that one.
So Diana, it seems like just outwardly from the national kind of expectation on the Titans, they don't expect the Titans to be very good. It's been an offseason of a lot of change from Snead coming in to Ridley, Tyler Boyd they signed. There's been a lot of turnover with this Titans roster. What do you make of what the Titans have done to this point in the offseason, and how do you view the roster they have heading into this year?
I know that schedule tells you exactly the way the league feels about the Titans at this point, right? I just think there's just too many question marks to really have the answers right now to be like, okay, guys, I predict that the Titans are going to win this division. Everything goes back to Will. And those are the conversations I have with GMs all across the league, even head coaches, you know, over at the league, at the owners' meetings. Just anytime I'm trying to get a pulse on how everyone feels about the Titans, it's always the same thing. It's, is Will going to be the guy? I think there was enough scene. There were some great moments he had last year where I think fans can probably get really excited about it and believe that this is it. I know in the building, they obviously have tons of confidence, but there's still a few holes, right? You have on the defensive side of the ball, there's, you know, safety. Yeah, I have some question marks on the offensive line. Definitely better, definitely improved, but the right side, there's still holes there that need to be plugged. So collectively, the roster has definitely improved. I was just having a conversation yesterday, actually, with someone in the league about the Titans of, I keep forgetting how many good players are on this team now. And it's been so long since this roster has had really great players. And so just that alone, I think, has got to give fans some hope here that they can definitely improve this year. It's just, is it going to all come together? Like you said, there's been so much turnover, not just from the roster standpoint, but obviously on the coaching side of all of this. So to have them find the answers and get it right out of the gate is hard. And knowing what this schedule looks like for them, I think that's probably where I have some concern. They come out of the gate against some really difficult teams, you know, that have a little bit more experience under their belt in terms of what they've been dealing with. That's really probably where I'm a little hesitant. But, you know, I look at the defense too, Joe, like big picture. The good news, at least for some of the veteran guys there, they're not going to be learning a new defense. A lot of the stuff they're going to be doing comes from that Baltimore Dean Pease way of doing things. So it's not going to be a complicated change and adjustment for them. So I think they have that working. And obviously, you know, Coach Callahan's got a vision. We got the Cincinnati Bengals wannabes right now, which I think is awesome and the way it should be built. And we'll see if they'll be able to basically replicate that.
So, Dinah, you mentioned draft night. You tweeted right after they picked Latham that Bill Callahan, that Latham was his favorite offensive lineman. We've been tossing this hypothetical around. Well, first of all, what did you hear about that going in? And then do you believe that the Titans would have taken Latham even if – because obviously we were talking Joe Alt in this town. Then Harbaugh takes Joe Alt. Do you believe they still would have taken Latham if Alt was sitting there as well?
Yeah, I still think Latham was going to be the guy just because I had been told that Coach really, really liked him as a player. He liked his size. He liked the mechanics, all those things that he looks for. And I think it's pretty fair to say at this point he is the best offensive line coach in football, and he had his eye on him. Now, there were others in the draft room, or we'll just call it the war room, scouts who obviously thought Alt was a really good player too. So I had a couple conversations with people in Tennessee the day before the draft, actually, you know what, even the morning of, and the vibe was starting to change towards Latham. So that's where I knew Coach Callahan was getting his way, where you know, they were smart in the room going, all right, maybe the man that knows everything about this position, and this is the position that we're zeroing in on, we should let his voice sort of have all the power here. So obviously that was a really good call by them. But I still think if they went Alt, they would have been fine with it. Obviously knowing that he's that type of player. And they kept telling me, too, leading into the draft, they were never going to get cute with that pick anyways, because I, you know, there was tons of chatter, if you recall, around that time about them maybe, you know, trading him, doing all these different things, and they really were targeting improving that offensive line, and they obviously did.
Dana, on the Will Levis front, you mentioned it. I mean, there were some moments last year where he looked really good, some other moments where you look at the talent around him and the offensive line, and he just had no chance. You know, Hopkins, Ridley, Boyd, that trio that the Titans now have at wide receiver, how much with that in the kind of the background here do you think we're going to find out about what Will Levis actually is this season?
Look, it's always going to be about quarterback improvement. That's always just a big part of what's going to happen this year, not just for the Titans, but obviously for other teams in the division that they're going to face. And look, I think the fact that they're supplying him with skillful players, at least they've supplied him, and like I mentioned, you know, have improved the offensive line. They're definitely building this up for him to have success, which I think highlights the reasoning why he also needs to take this next step. This is a lot of pressure on Will, right? Because I do think last year there were situations he was put in that, you know, out of his control, and sometimes in kind of out of the team's control with this is what we got, and perhaps it wasn't the best it could be. So the fact that they are really focused on building this offense around him to make him better, I do think it comes with that side of pressure, but also is going to give him a path to improve and get better and be comfortable with Brian Callahan and this offense. You know, and just watching his own growth is going to be important, I think, in terms of his leadership in that role, because we talk about the question marks. One of the question marks is he going to be that guy? You know, I was listening to Tom Brady recently on The Pivot talk about what it takes to be a great quarterback. And he immediately talked about endearing yourself to your teammates and making it about them and never making it about you. And maybe fans hear that and go, ah, oh, it's all a bunch of fluff. It's not, because I've been around the great quarterbacks, and there's so much truth to that. And I'm watching Will now, I believe, sort of follow that formula, and that's credit to him, as he's done a really good job, I think, of endearing himself to his teammates, but also to that entire building. I hear nothing but great things about Will Levis.
Talking to Diana Rossini of The Athletic, and we were texting Diana about the Titans, the quarterback. That's what strikes me about their schedule. I feel like everything on their schedule, every quarterback is interesting in some way. Most of them are really good,
yes.
But they've got four of those first rounders. You know, you got May, Daniels, McCarthy, but then, of course, you start with Caleb Williams. First of all, just how does that strike you? But also, how anticipate? I was trying to figure out, like, this Caleb Williams debut for the Bears against the Titans opening week, most anticipated QB debut since who?
I don't know. I mean, the thing with Chicago is, you know, I think I've been having tons of debates over the last few days on different shows about, you know, who's going to have the better season, who's built to have more success this year. Is it going to be Jalen? Is it Caleb? I think for Chicago, this is the best roster built around a quarterback brought in that I've seen since I've covered the game, which we'll say 15 years now. What they've done in Chicago to help Caleb have success has been tremendous. And look, some of it is because they haven't been great, so they've been put in positions to draft high and be able to pick and build around these players. But also, it's Ryan Poles and Kevin Warner there having a vision for what they want this team to look like and parting ways with players and moving on from guys that maybe some GMs and teams would stick with. But for them, they are very focused on a certain way that they want this team to look. And the Jalen Daniels thing, to me, there was so much talk, Joe, about how good of a quarterback he is. I even spoke to a coach who thought that Jalen was better than Caleb, the day before the draft. I'm like, wait, what? Like, you know, because I wasn't really getting a lot of that. He just really impressed so many different coaches, which is why we saw so many different teams calling the Commanders. Even though the Commanders weren't really answering their phone in terms of trying to get him, knowing that Chicago was locked in on Caleb. But look, I think from everything I'm hearing in Chicago in terms of the Caleb experience so far, you know, again, it's hard to find anyone that's going to knock the new guy just yet because I haven't really had enough time to do that. It's all just real easy, light stuff. As Nate Taylor once shared with me, Steve Spagnuolo put it best, OTAs, it's like guys in their pajamas, right? Like you're not seeing much in terms of what on the field, but they're learning, right? All of this is just that dipping their toe in the playbook and trying to learn as much as they can. So look, from the advantage of a Will Levis, who, yes, he's going to be learning a new offense here, but just having that experience in some crucial high-pressure moments last year, to have that over some of these rookie quarterbacks who have never even stepped foot on an NFL field yet, you're always going to lean towards the veteran. But, yeah, that's going to be a challenge. Coming out of the gate, look, I don't think it's an easy automatic W for the Titans because it's Caleb Williams and the Bears. I think the Bears roster's really, really good. So, look, a lot of challenges here get some young players, but I do think that the Titans have had that going for them. They have a core of veterans that are really good. By the way, Joe, I apologize. I sound like I'm talking underwater. I'm not in the bathtub. The allergies in New Jersey are so horrendous. I'm like hearing myself.
We get it. We know.
So I am so sorry for those who are driving to work and want to have a nice listening experience. Next time I will sound better. I apologize.
You sound great. Oh, yeah. I mean, my regular voice is grating. We all know that. Yeah, you're fine.
It is horrendous. But, yeah, all these – look, the Drake May thing, you know, that – look, there's going to be patience practice with a lot of these teams. The Vikings are one of those. You know, I think everyone is so quick to say JJ's going to start. I don't get the feeling out of Minnesota that this is JJ's team right now. I think you're bringing Sam Darnold in on a one-year, $10 million deal because you want him to start the season. Also, you're not sure what the quarterback situation is going to be at that point once they lost Kirk Cousins, and I know that they did not want to take any risks knowing that they wanted Drake May, and obviously that did not work out for Minnesota. But I think we're going to see some teams like Chicago where Caleb is the starter, and others where I think we're going to have to probably wait through the summer to see if they officially name their rookies the starters.
Well, Diana, we always appreciate your perspective. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us, and we will talk to you soon.
Of course. I can't wait, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yep,
thanks,
Diana Russini from The Athletic, our guest on Robbie and Rexo. We'll react to what she had to say. Take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.